It does.
But we are back. Stephen Tudor back on the T-Top Podcast, brought to you by flagstick.com, with my usual guest and co-host. We've upgraded a co-host. Scott McLeod, how are you?
I'm doing great. We missed you a couple weeks ago. I had to sub in Casey Ward for you, but it's good to be back to talk a little golf to finish off the year.
Yeah, good to be back to our mediocre podcast rather than one with a really good, talented, you know, professional golfer.
Well, you got to work on your master's there, I think, so.
Yeah, or any degree might be a start, you know.
Apparently. I'm not getting into that. I'll leave that for your dad and mom to comment.
Yeah, that's not you either. You're not going to talk about
no,
that.
No, I'm not that guy.
All right, well, fair enough. Well, it's it's been a few weeks. I can't say too much has happened. The U.S. Open just wrapped up with the women there, which was an interesting Monday finish. The World Championship out in the European Tour wrapped up. Matt Fitzpatrick won. Lee Westwood, though, wins the race to Dubai. And I remember at the start of the year, we were talking about him because he came out firing. And I was worried about the whole pandemic and all the wine he'd drink and all that. And he just kind of kept steady and won. You know, he's almost technically, it's been in 2 decades, but almost 3 different decades this guy's won won that title on the race to Dubai. But yeah, cool to see Lee back. And you know, we're gonna reflect on the whole year, but why don't we start there? What was it like watching that guy win that race to Dubai for you?
Yeah, it was interesting because I mean, I was up early to watch it. I actually, you know, had some interest in it. There was some drama down to the end. Matt Fitzpatrick had a lead. Patrick Reed was in the bunker looking for a ruling. I thought that was pretty funny on 17. And he was in the mix too, but you know, he failed, you know, coming down the end. And here's Lee Westwood, 47 years old. I think it was important to him. I mean, winning it 2000, 2009, now 2020 for him. I think he knows that, you know, his days ahead of him are limited as far as how he can compete on that world stage. So, you know, getting this in the bag for him is great. Is it a sign for things to come? I mean, we hope so. We were talking about him regarding majors and I think there's a lot of people in his corner cheering for Lee Westwood and hoping that, you know, he can lock something up before he puts the clubs away.
Yeah. And I think we all agree which one it's going to be if he does. And it's probably going to be an Open Championship. And
at least we hope.
Yeah. I think he hopes, everybody hopes. It doesn't matter if it was the Masters or the PGA Championship, he'd be ecstatic. He's one of those guys that everyone roots for. And I hope he does get it. Also, like when they find out he's 47 years old, I had a question for you. I was going to say, who do you think once they get there is going to have the better career on the Champions Tour, him or Matt Kuchar? It turns out Matt Kuchar's 42. Like,
yeah, he's a lot younger than you think
he is. I'm pretty sure his Wikipedia page hasn't been updated in 5 years. I feel like he's been 42 for 5 years. So we're not even going to debate that. Lee's around the corner. I hope he gets it. I feel like he's just so talented in that he went the analytical way. He had like the very, you know, high end caddies and at one point in his career, he's number one in the world. And then he went to like this no care way. And now his like girlfriend just caddies for him. And he still does it all. It's just one of those guys that just has all the natural talent.
I think he does. And I can remember, I mean, I was fortunate only to have one interview conversation with him ever before, and it happened to be at a PGA show, and it happened to be an orchestrated thing with Titleist talking about golf balls, and he literally was talking about the difference between one ball and another ball from the year before, and he was talking about a 5-foot window in his apex of his flight, of the difference of testing the one ball versus the other. And this was pre a lot of, you know, TrackMans and stuff like that, but you know, he was that dialed in and you know, certainly a natural. And I think I don't think there's anybody who, you know, roots against this guy really. I mean, you know, is he an underachiever by some people's marks, but I really don't think he is. I mean, he's had a wonderful career. If he didn't win another tournament after this or another title of any kind, I can't say that you know, he wasn't successful in what he did and in a balanced life too. It's not about just golf for him. It's about everything.
Yep, that's it's one way to put it. I think he's a great dude. He's hilarious, and hopefully this continues on. LPGA, you know, just wrap up that really quickly. The U.S. Women's Open finishing up. Sorry, the Women's U.S. Open finishing up on Monday. A-Lim Kim, am I saying her name right?
A-Lim Kim.
A-Lim Kim, I apologize. Yeah. I was a little busy working on Monday, but it was awesome to be
like
able to watch. Yeah, like a lot of people. I think the story of the weekend is the woman where her father-in-law passed away on the Saturday.
Amy Olsen,
and just grinds it out. You know, obviously Sunday, it basically got canceled, so she just sits there all day. Her brother or her fiance had left, gone back home. Like, it's just tough to see that happen. It sounded like it was just out of the blue, or he just died, and you know, you can't plan for something like that. And sounds like he was one of her biggest supporters, and you know, grinds it out right to the end. Unfortunately, you know, Kim just, you know, what did she finish, 3 birdies straight to pick up the win. And it was just crazy. It was awesome to see. It was an interesting golf course, clearly difficult, and the weather conditions were, like, I feel like they were playing in winter jackets with toques
they were.
And everything. It was crazy.
Some of the biggest earmuffs you've ever seen. And I mean, you know, the temperatures were in the 30s, so definitely they were justified. It wasn't like they were being, you know, soft or something like that in playing this golf course. Even the USGA, you know, they shortened up the golf course just because they recognized the difficulty with the weather conditions and things like that. That said, you know, there was very few rounds in the 60s, and Kim, you know, she had 6 birdies on in the final round, and to birdie the last 3, you know, a lot of people won't know her because, you know, she's won 2 times on the Korean LPGA tour, but
she had over 1,000-to-1 odds going into the week to win. Like, no one had her anywhere.
No, but I mean, and we've said it actually on this podcast before, we talked about it, and it was really, it came from Trista Mullally in regards to Team Canada and talking about how many great players there are in Korea coming. And I think it was about 2 years ago we talked about it on the podcast, and he said, you know, there's 150 in the top 500 in the world, and
150, you know, in the top 50.
Yeah, or sorry, 150 in the top 500, and he said, you know, pretty soon it's going to be half in that 500. I mean, there's so much talent, you know, in Korea, and I think we shouldn't take it away from this player. I you know, I heard some people going, oh, it wasn't that exciting, you know, they're hoping certain things would happen. Hey, you know what, she got it done. And to be her first U.S. Women's Open and to get it done, that makes it even more special. Whether she takes membership in the U.S. Or not, who knows? I hopefully that she does. But yeah, just another great player and a lot of emotion. And she won in a mask too, which was kind of neat.
I was just going to say, if she can bury the last 3 to win the U.S. Open in a mask, you can wear one when you go to the frigging grocery store.
100%. So I think it was appropriate. I think it was funny. I expected it to be really weird to be watching U.S. Women's Open in December, but given how 2020 has gone and the fact that, you know, we had the November Masters and we had the late U.S. Open, for the men, it didn't feel weird at all, really. But it was nice. It was unfortunate with the weather conditions that, you know, it caused some issues with you know, the TV broadcast. We were a little bit limited in Canada where we are, and the fact that TSN 5 was picking up, so not everybody had the chance to be able to see that. I really wish that, you know, there would be greater exposure for this event beyond, you know, the 25 hours that was being done between the you know, Golf Channel, Peacock TV and stuff like that. You know, there was some great golf play, there were some fantastic stories, and hopefully as we move forward they'll get the coverage that they deserve.
Yeah, so we do have the CME Group Tour Championship this week. The story right now coming out of it is, you know, Sofia Popov does not have an exemption into this somehow. Won the Open this year, as you all remember, kind of out of nowhere. I was one of the people that was chirping her the week prior for not bringing a caddy out on the LPGA and calling it amateur hour, and then obviously picking up a win. This is a miss. This is the biggest miss. The LPGA has done so much good this year. I get it. You know, I'm sure you're gonna have an argument of why or what their logical reason is of why, but like, when was the last time Natalie Gulbis has been on TV for anything that include her golf clubs and her golf ball?
Right? Yeah, I had to dig into this to look at the whole story, and it's not a case of arguing against it. It's sort of explaining what is sort of happening. I still think it's a miss. Here's the weird part is, one, it's a tour championship, which makes it odd that the fact that they have sponsors exemption. So the field is 70 now. They have two sponsors exemption, which is only happening this year. So it's kind of odd that they have that.
Anyway. Make it three then. If it's just happening this year, they'll just make it three.
Yeah. Well, here's how the story happened or whatever. Popov was not a member of the LPGA during the Women's British Open, which she won. So she couldn't get her 625 points that would go towards, you know, the CME Race to the Globe to help her get into the Tour Championship. If she had gotten those points, she ended up in 82nd in the race. If she had gotten those points, she would have been 16th in the race and she would have got a spot automatically. Two sponsors exemptions available. Sarah Kemp gets them. Natalie Gulbis gets it based on the CEO of CME. He says that Gulbis was the first interaction that he had with an LPG player doing stuff with her from a corporate side of things. And she was the reason that he got involved doing things with the CME Group Championship. Anyways, as far as becoming a sponsor. Now, that said, here's the thing. I don't think that it's 100% on him. He can extend that offer and say, hey, Natalie, come. Although you've only played in six LPGA events this year and you missed the cut in five of those. And, she said that maybe this year was supposed to be her victory lap and this was supposed to be her last event that she was going to play in her career. But now she said that with no fans around and COVID, that she's expected to play back in 2021. So, if I'm the veteran that Natalie Gulbis is, who's only won one time on tour, you know, she is the Anna Kournikova of golf, really. She won the Avion Championship. She won just under $5 million in her career. I would be really, I would have seriously said to him, hey, you know what? The right thing to do is not to give me this. I'll step aside. Get Sofia Popov in there. She's a major champion. I get it. A-Lim Kim is not in the field either because of that situation. She's not an LPGA Tour member as well. But Popov obviously lives in Naples as well. So she's right around the corner. Missed opportunity for not only for Natalie Gulbis, but for CME. And obviously, you know, the LPGA is taking the heat over this and, you know, is going to have to consider how they go about awarding points. If a player all of a sudden wins a major championship, even though they're not a member, you know, give them those points.
Yeah, it just comes down to the old adage, and I know I go on a ton on this podcast, be like, just shut up. But like, if you don't know why you're doing something, you shouldn't be doing it. And it's just like, this is just how we do it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Nobody cares about how you do it, right? Or like, well, you need to know why you do it. It's ridiculous. I don't think we have a clean take or a new take on this.
It's not really
beaten to a pulp. I think I get it, whatever. You know, Gulbis, you know, she's great sommelier or whatever she does now. She's not a great golfer anymore. Good luck in your victory lap next year as well as the one you had this year. And, Popov, I get it, but put her in. It should have been in there that Kim is in there as well. Like, it should just be in the U.S.
Put your major champions in.
Exactly. Especially, like, if you're struggling for viewership, which apparently we are, in that we have that sounds bad. We are. The LPGA is struggling.
Sure,
there was a hashtag out this, about watching.
Women worth watching. Exactly. And that's true, right? And
then put your best players who played the best in the four, the five best tournaments of the year, put them there. Because if anybody, those are the tournaments people are watching in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like, outside of those five tournaments, I might be able to name three because, like, the sponsors change every single year. So I don't know. Just put them in there and people might actually be able to watch, might stick around and be like, oh, Popov's on TV. Yeah, that was a cool story. Yeah. I remember watching that. Maybe I'll stick around for an extra hour versus flipping over to Wheel of Fortune the price is right. There you go.
Yeah. Well, 100%. I mean, fans have to be engaged with the story of the players, and how they engage with the stories is they have to have access to them. And if they're watching those events, and like you said, they're the high profile events that they happen happen to be watching, they get caught up in those stories. They get emotionally attached to those players, and it's not like they're not deserving to be in the field. So I think the tour just has to seriously look at their qualifications. I know, you know, it's obviously by points and whatever the case may be, but you know, tour championship, make an exemption for your major champions and make it happen.
I agree. All right. Well, we are going to do like a full year in review of the podcast and going into 2021, some of our favorite stories. Before we do, we got a couple more stories to get to. Sure. There's been a couple equipment moves that have been announced, and there will be more coming up in January, and we'll break them all down in January. That's usually when contracts are up. So you will hear of more. But one made official, Tommy Fleetwood, Fairway Jesus, has gone to TaylorMade. This really shouldn't have been a shock to anybody. His bag was basically all TaylorMade by choice for a while now, outside of like
short of a driver
and driver here and there. Which obviously you're bringing one in, one or two maybe have to go. John Rahm is rumored to have gone to Callaway. Has that become official?
No, not official yet. I know from dealing with sources that he was practicing hard with Callaway equipment for quite some time out at Silverleaf. So it's you know, it's basically a foregone conclusion. It wasn't in the Christmas card. How's that? He wasn't in the TaylorMade Christmas card. I neither was one other player.
Yeah, you said Jason Day coming in. I didn't even pick up on it because I didn't click on the Christmas card because I didn't care. Shout out to Ryan Barath for one of the funnier comments on the Christmas card that outlined that,
that
Dustin Johnson was at the bottom of the stairs. So the Christmas card, they're on the stairs, which was good placement for the Masters champion, which Masters only 4 months away, which is crazy to think about. So that was pretty funny. There'll be a ton of stories like this coming up over the next couple weeks. The Rahm to Callaway, this one always worries me when a guy like that has just had such a good career up until this point. Those equipment changes worry me because it usually cuts off a year, and the main reason is not the equipment. The main reason is the golf ball. That is a drastic change. There's not a lot of love out there for that Callaway golf ball. There's not a lot of guys that go out and play it without contract deals. So no, this isn't my slight to Callaway. I've never played the golf ball.
No, no.
But you know, the guys that don't have contract deals, look what they're playing. And generally speaking, when it's a golf ball, it's going to be a Titleist or a TaylorMade has kind of swooped in over the last couple of years. So that one, I would say, if there's anything I'm worried about, it's that side of things.
Yeah, and it's kind of shocking, too. I mean, in talking to a lot of people in the industry and talking to people that, you know, are knowledgeable about some of these deals and how they've changed over the years, you know, he's got to be getting a big, big check because, you know, and I get it, too. Sometimes it could be an ego play as well that, you know, you don't want to. You want to be the top guy. You maybe don't want to be part of a squad or whatever the case may be. But in most cases now, you know, the free agency route is where a lot of players are going because, you know, the money being offered, while it's okay and it's guaranteed, in most cases, you know, you can make up the money multiple times over
it
just by wins and performance.
Guys. Like these guys at the top, like the, as we talked about, and I'm drawing a blank on the name. Oh, with Mel Reed, we talked about with her, like the guys that are, you know, the Martin Trainers of the world, the guys that are like the 125 to, you know, 200 or whatever. Those are the guys that need those equipment. Those equipment deals, because that's how they basically make money throughout the year when they're having tough years. Like, you know,
Guarantees their expenses, right?
Yeah, like Martin's had a tough couple years. It's no doubt since he won in Puerto Rico, but you know he has that, and he's making a decent living off those type of things and off of sponsorship. It's good for John Rahm, unless it's a big deal. It doesn't make sense for him to switch. And if you even touch it on that, like there, you said he's been seen at Silverleaf a lot with Callaway stuff, right? Like, are you trying to force a square peg into a round circle, right? Like, I don't even know if that's the saying. I just threw it out there. Probably botched it. But you know what I mean? It concerns me a little bit. The guy's obviously an elite talent, so I'm sure he'll be fine in the end. It's not like Callaway makes Mickey Mouse golf equipment.
No, certainly. I mean, any of the major manufacturers, they're going to be able to fit into something that, you know, is suitable for them. But like you said, as far as the golf ball, that's always such a big switch. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just little things. Even, I mean, it's difficult for players sometimes to even move from year to year when a ball changes within a same manufacturer. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I talked about, you know, one major manufacturer, Titleist, for an example, and we talked about Lee Westwood. You know, there's a lot of players that would play variations of the golf ball. I mean, I think it was Zach Johnson who played the 2015 Pro V1 for a long, long time, just because he liked a certain feel, certain characteristics, you know, played it for multiple years past when, you know, new golf balls were out. So yeah, this is a critical thing for them. So, so hopefully Rahm has done his research. He's worked hard with his team and, you know, if he's been posting some good scores in casual play, that's okay. But you know, what's going to happen under the gun and dude, hey, you know
do
what?
That with my bag. If I gave him right, my
but,
bag,
yeah, but he could come out and, yeah, he could come out and blow up the tour. I mean, he could be the greatest thing. Will it sell more equipment? Who knows?
That's that was where I was going to go. Is for Callaway, is John Rahm the face where you're like, hey, well, we're losing Phil because we're losing Phil. Yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah. Do I need to go further? Like, let's bring in the kind of milk bag shaped John Rahm with, you know, a fiery personality. Like, maybe that's where their marketing team goes. Like, if I'm them, that's where I'm going. I got commercials of John Rahm being like tired of breaking clubs, him breaking a club. Clearly you're making jokes about his old club spot. Like, yeah. That's, I think you gotta go with it a little bit differently if you're tailmate Callaway and feed into who this person is versus trying to put him in to a, you know, a Phil Mickelson thumbs up, smiles and laughs kind of role in these commercials.
Well, the rumor is that, you know, he's going to move into the Travis Matthew brand for clothing, which is owned by Callaway as well. So,
which they're doing great stuff.
Like, right, they are. Awesome, and they stuff. Sort of have that irreverent sort of feel to them all the time. So who knows? Maybe they might play it up. Maybe they've got a plan in there. I guess we're going to have to wait till we see how it comes out. But I'd be interested, too, of who else they're going to get there. From a support wise, because, you know, sometimes these changes are not always great. And sometimes, you know, being the only guy over there may not be the best as well from a commercial standpoint.
Yeah, not everybody can be that only guy. But no. When I was talking about, you know, the commercial idea of John Rahm breaking clubs, I hear Rick Young in my DMs telling me how much he disagrees with me on that and anything else I say throughout 2020. Any other free agents you're hearing coming up that you know of?
Oh, I haven't really dug through the list too much. So I haven't, you know, it's not something I've paid attention to this year, just because I know there's a big wraparound that's happening. And, you know, I think now it's such a different market, and the fact that there are so many free agents and the fact that they're staying free agents, it's not the conversation that it used to be. I mean, when the contracts used to be huge and everybody used to sign with somebody, then it was a bigger conversation, because you get to the end of 4 or 5 years and then someone would go, okay, I'm over to here. I'm more looking forward to seeing who ends up just dropping their contract and just keeps going forward, and, you know, takes on the, like I'm hearing for an example that, you know, we know what's happening already with Truspec and Chapel, for an example. And, you know, there's rumors that they're going to sign some more players as well. So we might see more that agnostic play and see players that are basically just, again, hooking up with different sponsors for their bags or their other things that are providing the money, you know, hats or whatever, be it an MGM or whatever the case may be, and just playing whatever the hell they want in the golf bag.
I think it's such a cool idea, you know, for Truspec, and I don't, TXG isn't doing this, but for those companies to do it, that's an actual marketing ploy, right? Because it's like, hey, look, at the best of the best are using whatever's best for them, fit by us. You can come get fit by us versus like John Rahm's playing a full bag of Callaways, right? That's really cool. Or like, for example, you know, Truspec again, you know, best is doing this. Oh, Matt Fitzpatrick has a Workday hat. I'm really going to start using that for my HR software. You know what I mean? This is an actual great sponsorship idea. I love that idea. I haven't started drinking more Michelob Ultra because Brooks Koepka is sponsored by them. So if it is golf, I like it. Who knows? who knows where it goes, but I think it's really cool.
Well, I think too, the one side of that before we move on is the fact that I think consumers are being a lot more educated now, and they understand and they begin to realize, especially, you know, serious golfers, while brands sort of influence them and a lot of them like to have sort of the matchy matchy bag in a lot of cases, I'm seeing more and more of the, you know, agnostic stuff within consumers as well. So the fact that they're educated about it, eventually what they're going to do is they're going to go, you know what, this is disingenuous that somebody all of a sudden puts 14 clubs of that in their bag and compromises, you know, one part or the other, or, you know, sneak something in under a head cover. They know. So, you know, you can't get away with that. You may have gotten away with it, you know, years ago, but manufacturers are going to become to realize that, you know what, you're not fooling anyone. So there's no point in probably, you know, harnessing somebody into a 14 club deal and making them play that, because in the end, you know, if they play 10 clubs and play way better, they're going to get more mileage out of it anyways.
Exactly. I love the old head cover trick. Yeah, happens. Trick. Like it's so funny. It's probably, I would say, outside of like the guys you all see on tour, 9 out of 10, it's a head cover, oh, yeah, different club underneath.
Oh yeah.
And always is awesome.
First tee spot on tour.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And so a funny thing, I don't know if people actually know this, but every tournament, there's a guy that comes around.
For the Daryl survey.
Yeah. And he goes through and he checks the bag, and, you know, and sometimes you're standing there, he's like, everything that's still the same. And he knows the guys that it's the same and the guys that it isn't. And it's just really cool because they literally have it and it's like literally dates beside it each day and checks. And then there's the guys that they know, it's like, oh God.
Yep.
You know, so which one of these which one of these putters is going in, which one of these drivers, and he just hates that guy.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's that guy's gonna hate True Spec and TXG going forward, because those are the guys that they have to worry about the constant, yeah, changing and getting those smallest numbers, but that's what makes them great.
Definitely.
Why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back and let's do a quick year in review of the podcast. It's our second full year around the sun, I think. The moon? I don't know.
Sure.
Some, one of the two. I think we did both. We'll talk about, you know, which one was our favorite, how we kind of just kept on trucking through a pandemic and all sorts of things. So we'll grab a quick break and we'll come right back with that. All right, Scotty, let's do a full year in review. As I said, it's our second year doing the podcast. Different year. We expected a lot of travels this year. We had some, you know, plans. I think we were thinking about going to Bandon. We were thinking about going to Arizona. We had a couple different trips. You know, I was hoping, like, this the year I was going to get involved in these trips, these media trips. I'm finally media in this company, according to me. This pandemic hits and none of that happens. So we
made it to Toronto.
Yeah, I made it to Toronto twice, a couple times. So, you know, looking over the year, 47 to 94. Those are our episodes. I can't do the math. What's that? Almost 50.
This is our 49th show of the year right now.
Just crazy.
Yeah.
So looking over all those, which one stands out to you the most, or which one was one of your favorites?
You know what? This was hard. I mean, I went back and made the list of the shows, and, you know, and it was more than just the guests too. I mean, the guests, we had an amazing list of guests this year, and, you know, there was a lot of growth. I'll mention that first. You know, we're up to downloads now in 60 countries. We're consistently, you know, one or two as far as a Canadian-based podcast for golf in Canada. We're always in that mix. We've been trending sometimes in countries in Ireland, Australia, the UK, the US. It really goes up and down. But I think, you know, we put together a lot of hours, a lot of fun stuff. I think there's some of the conversations, you know, of our own that were pretty funny. Caddies were always great. Always had a few funny situations. I mean, I go back to the start of the year with, you know, Cam Davis in the airport. And I mean, that was a kind of a last minute sort of thing to get him on the pod. And here's this rando Australian guy who's obviously doing great things and played well in Hawaii. And I think that ended up being a funny one, just, you know, him being in the airport and doing his thing. you know, there's a million. I mean, Taylor Pendrith, I mean, he had such an amazing year. He was such a good guy. And what was funny about him was, you know, he was almost begging to get on the podcast, yeah. which was funny. He was chatting with another friend of ours, and he was down in Arizona for a Team Canada camp. He's part of the Young Pro Squad, and said, "Hey, why am I not on the podcast yet? Why am I not?" And, you know, he's been on a couple times now, and he's been fantastic. It's a laundry list. It really is. And I mean, why don't you go ahead and mention a couple of yours before I mention a couple more of mine?
Yeah, it's funny. You go through the list here, and you talk about like Cam Davis and Gliggs, and, yeah. you know, we talk about Kyle Peters down at the Waste Management, and, you know, I was there, and we were hanging out a little bit, and Taylor, and it's like you see where it changed, and it was right around we had Brittany Marchand on episode 57. She was talking about building her schedule and how tough it was, you know, going already being tough going from the LPGA back down to the Symetra Tour, now throwing a pandemic to somebody already like, you know, this is gonna be a tough year for me money wise everything wise, pandemic. And then you see, like, I remember the episode with Kyle and Corey, and Kyle's at home and Corey's at home, and they hadn't really been talking much either. No. And we were on there, and you know, then Duthie, like, you don't get James Duthie unless a pandemic happens, because he had nothing else to do, right? Yeah. And then you obviously don't get Gary Player, who, you know, I haven't said the nicest things about Gary Player on this podcast since then, but you know, he is a legend. You recognize real here. These things don't happen without a pandemic. And then you talk about, you know, can kind of see where the change was coming with Lawrence and talking about the next steps there. And, you know, it was a cool year, and you can kind of see where it kind of got positive, and you just remember the moments right up to, I think, my favorite episode of the year, and probably for more of emotional ties and friendship ties to it, is just Mel Reid and Ryan, just the celebration of that win and knowing how important that was to both of them. You know, even like Dez wasn't even sure how much longer he was going to do this for, right? And this, like, and we talked about that with Scott Martin, like, a win can change how much longer you decide to caddy. And Dez is now, obviously, you know, he's found the love. He loves it. He's going. He's sticking with it for a couple more years for sure, right? And, like, it's those type of stories that I loved. And then up to Bob Weeks being at Augusta, you know, it was a great year. A lot of good episodes. And I think, you know, my favorite parts are obviously the laughs in between and all those stories that, you know, don't hear. And just how most of these even happen.
Came about.
Yeah, like, you don't hear about me trying to get Gliggs on the podcast while he's driving from Kitchener to wherever he lives in Florida, right? Like, those are the things that happen. The only reason he was on Instagram at that moment was because his dog had to go pee. Like, it's things that. It's really funny.
Well, it was like Pendrith. Like, we tried to get him on the first time, and he was in Colombia, and we couldn't get a connection, and it wouldn't work out. And eventually we just kind of threw up our hands and forget it. We'll try another week when you're back in the States and whatever. You're right, though. And, you know, the fact that, you know, we went into that pandemic and, you know, all that stuff started playing out in March. And, you know, we weren't sure what was going to happen, whether we were going to keep doing this or not, or whether we're going to carry on. And I think we made that decision that whatever, how it would play out, we're just going to do it anyways, because, you know, from a content standpoint, we wanted to kind of be there. We wanted to talk about golf and keep talking about it. And, you know, I'll admit it too, you know, we look at it, this is a business as well. And, you know, it's a tough year, and, you know, it was going to be difficult to get sponsors and to get sponsorship support. But, you know, we kept going. You know, and no matter what, we got it done. And you know, there's some tough days. There's some harder days to put together scripts. There's some harder days to, you know, to run down guests and whatever. But we persevered, which I think is pretty cool.
Which, speaking of which, I know for a lot of businesses out there, people listening, you know, tough year for them. And next year hopefully is better. We are actively looking for sponsors in 2021. If you are interested in sponsoring the podcast, we can go over all of the data. We have millions of listeners each week. So basically anybody should sponsor us. I think those are the numbers, close to a mil a week, something like that. Reach out to Scott on Instagram or Twitter if you are interested in sponsoring the podcast, and we'd love to chat a little bit more about that with you going into 2021. Why don't we talk some favorite stories of the year, Scotty?
Sure. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Can I keep, I mean, I got a couple kind of things. I mean, just to follow up what you said, I mean, you're right. I think Mel Reed and Ryan, that was probably one of the best, because it felt like a celebration, and that we were kind of part of it. And, you know, they were having a good time when we got on the podcast. Safe to say, we're going to say that we are getting ready to, you know, record, and they're like, you better get to us right now, because the, you know, the things are about to kick off. So you might want to start earlier than later. But it was cool to hear their story and hear the emotion and how important that was. And, you know, on the other side of it, you know, here's this first win for him, and obviously, you know, a big moment for Mel Reed. But yeah, you're right. On the other side of it, you know, somebody like Gary Player, who he had nothing to do. I mean, basically his PR person, who I'd known for years, reached out and said, hey, you know what? He's quarantining with his daughter in Philadelphia, and he wants to do some interviews. And we're like, well, you're not going to say no. Whatever he's going to say, you're not going to say no.
Nope.
You know, he's a World Golf Hall of Famer. And certainly it was a little bit of work to do that podcast. There was a lot of stuff that kind of went on, and you know, he sort of rambled on here and there, like I am doing now. You know, it was nice to have him on. So, you know, just thankfully that there's a lot of people that were generous enough to give their time, be it caddies, players, you know, media people, you know, ex-hockey players, you know, from all sorts of different architects, from all sorts of different, you know, parts of golf. And hopefully we've got a lot more coming at you for next year as well. We'll keep doing that.
Oh, absolutely. And next year, I think, you know, I think we'll be doing more. I'm looking forward to getting back. You know, I've been talking about potentially going, hopefully once this vaccine's done, you know, trying to do some smaller tour stuff, do some caddying again.
Well, location stuff too. Yeah. It'd be nice to do a little bit more stuff. I mean, for me, I'll tell you that, you know, in 25 years of being involved with the golf media, this is the least number of events I've ever been, you know, covered live. And it was, frankly, it was weird when I got back out to start covering a couple of junior events. So yeah, you know what, we've got a lot of contacts. We've got a lot of great events that, you know, we can get to, that we can provide some cool content, and hopefully we get to share that with the listeners in 2021.
I would also say it's probably been at least probably more. I'm going to almost go up to somewhere between the 15 to 20 year since I've gone 6 months without leaving the province of Ontario.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and let alone the country, right? Like, to not go anywhere. It's crazy. So just off the cuff, like, once that vaccine's out, travel's safe, you're allowed to go. Where's the first place that you're heading? Are you going sentimental and going home to see the parents and PEI or, you know, after that, where are we going golfing?
Yeah, I definitely have to do the parents first. It's been a year and a half since I've seen them down at PEI, and you know, I love getting back there anyways and seeing everybody in the golf industry down there. So certainly, I'd love to love to do a trip down there. Overseas, I mean, really, you know,
gotta get to Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's you know, got to Northern Ireland last year, but you know, it's starting to feel like it's 6 years now since I've been to Scotland. And it's starting to feel like, you know, I'm missing it so bad right now. So, you know, a Scottish Irish trip, you know, maybe a media guys, maybe some, you know, some clients, maybe some, you know, readers, who knows, something like that. But definitely some golf trips. And I think there's going to be a whole new appreciation for them as well. Not that I didn't appreciate them before, but I think now that if we go and golf and do a trip someplace, wherever it is, we're going to have a whole new appreciation for what that means to us.
Yeah. And I think, you know what, me and my buddies that did Arizona last year, I think we really, really recognize how awesome that trip was. Mm. And it just allows you to be like, you know what, spend that extra $20 on that tee time for that nice golf course. And
totally.
Go to that restaurant that you won't go to again. Because who knows, right? Like this, I think we do take too much for granted. I love the idea. I'm just throwing this out there. I'm off all next August. Is there a better time to go to Scotland? What do you say? Last week of August next year, and we head over to Scotland and do a trip.
We'll take your little one with us, you know, at that time. Nah, he'll be a new daddy by then. So.
He can chill at home with mom for a week. I think they'll want it. They'll want to do that. I think. I can. Yeah. thing sure. I hear.
Commit yourself
yeah.
of that.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe we'll be planning some listeners trips. We're planning some extra tournaments. We'll talk about that yeah. later. But let's just go into the year of golf. What were some of your favorite stories this year? What was one that stood out to you the most?
You know, the thing is outside of the pandemic stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that was related to that, but you know, we could go on and on about that. And there are certainly some amazing circumstances there. And there's some stuff that we're going to find out too, that, you know, that players that did maybe some really cool things to help people who were doing a lot of great things for the community. But, you know, I think the story of Haley Moore, who, you know, was a successful collegiate player, got her way onto the LPGA Tour and, you know, she was on Good Morning America today, which I didn't even realize when I wrote this down, but you know, her struggles with bullying, bringing that to light, which, you know, if you're somebody who's been bullied, it takes a lot of bravery to keep talking about it and to bring it out in public, because you open yourself up to that and open yourself up to more criticism as well. So, you know, I think her story was incredible. I think she's somebody that I'll definitely reach out and, you know, get her on the podcast at some point. Had a little bit of interaction with her on social media, just back and forth. And she's a wonderful young lady. I know she's going to do very well on the LPGA Tour. She's going to have a lot of people in her corner. And I thought it was just a cool story. There are so many issues out there that are sort of been swept under the rug, and we've talked about mental health issues, all sorts of different things. I think that any time that golf has the platform to bring them to light, and that a player is able to do that with their platform while they're still trying to play at the highest level, I think that just makes it super, super admirable, and it makes us look at the sport, you know, beyond the, you know, money and TV and all this stuff. It's, you know, there's a platform there to deal with real issues. So I think Haley Moore's story really resonated with me.
Yeah, I like that. You know, it's Haley's gone through a lot. I like that, you know, speaking out on it and just, you know, fighting against that nonsense that, you know, people are different. People are built different. People look different. There's no reason to have to deal with that just on something that you can't control. For me, my story, and maybe it's a cop out, maybe it's not, it's my podcast, I don't care. Is golf in general. 2020 yeah. was the year of, like, I know a lot of people that came back to the game. It was like, hey, I don't have much else to do. There's nothing else to do.
Question for you before you move into that. Did you find that even more in your age demographic? Because generally, there's a lot of people that are your age that are maybe, you know, done university, getting started, established in their career. They've sort of turf golf to the side until they sort of have the time and the willingness to do it again. So is that something that you saw personally more than anything?
Yeah, I think I am at that age where I think people recognize you don't need to put every moment into your career coming out of university or college or whatever.
You got to balance your life, right?
Yeah, you really find that balance. I played golf, I would say, with the, you know, friends I never thought I'd play golf with this year. And just that, like, you know, hey, you're golfing a lot. Like, let's meet up. And then you find, like, hey, you really work as a pair and you go out and play a lot. And I just enjoyed that moment. It also allowed, you know, though it's not the perfect moment, you get to play with, you know, friends of the podcast a little bit more, you know, guys that, you know, should have been out somewhere playing out on some tour somewhere that are stuck in Canada.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
Played a ton with, like, Josh Willem, for example, and just watching, like, that skill set, like, in person a lot was really cool, knowing, like, how good of a dude he is, that he will go on it and hopefully next year when everything wraps up be able to carry on his professional career. So I just thought golf in general was a cool year. It was fun to just play a lot. I think I had 75 rounds in my Golf Canada app, so that's just 75 I put in there. You know there's a few in there where it's like, I can't put this in, this handicap in there or some nine holes. Like, that's a lot of golf, but, like, what else were we going to do? And I think that was a big win and just nice to see people back. Golf courses trying to make it fun. You know, I talked about one golf course had, you could get a slice of pizza at the turn, like, just trying to, like, work with different businesses. For me, it was just cool to see businesses try to do something different and change a little bit.
Yeah, I'll say, you know, I did get to play a lot more golf with my daughter this year. She, you know, at 14, we played a lot of nine holes. Again, there wasn't a lot of other things to do. And, you know, she had some other friends that they were in the same boat. So it was pretty cool to, you know, show up at a golf course with three 14-year-old girls and they were all going to play golf. You know, whatever reason that brought them to the game, they're brought to the game. And, you know, not everybody is going to stick with it, but you're right. I mean, I saw, you know, a cousin-in-law who all of a sudden, I didn't even know he had an interest in the game, and then he all of a sudden, you know, breaks it out to me one day. We're talking, he's like, oh, me and my buddies, we play every week now. And I literally gave a driver to, you know, somebody in that family to pass on to him for Christmas. Hopefully he's not listening to this podcast. You know, because he's that into the game now, and that's cool to see, because, you know, he used to play other sports. Now their buddies are going, hey, you know what, we can play golf. We can be crappy at it, but it's a cool sport because it's social. There's a lot to it. We don't have to be good to enjoy it, but we can still try to be better at it in our own way and at our own level and still get a lot out of it. So,
and that's my favorite part, is that golf courses have learned a little bit, mm-hmm. some, how to rebrand and go with the new times of like, let's make this fun. Let's not, you know, all these dress codes. I think it's been a good year for that. I think 2020 has taught us all to reflect on why we do things and be thankful and all that type of stuff. So yeah, quick thing, if someone could just clip the thing where Scott says it's really fun going to the golf course with three 14-year-old girls, I think that that will go over well.
Please don't. You know, it was cool to see how many more juniors were playing this year too. And, you know, it almost became difficult, and I'll put on my teaching pro side for a while, but, you know, there was people, all sorts of people like approaching me going, hey, can we get lessons or so-and-so? And it was difficult because, you know, you couldn't take on a lot of new clients this year. Group lessons were very difficult to do, but, you know, I think as we go forward, you know, we'll have that more opportunities for that. And hopefully those, that interest still, you know, maintains itself as we head into 2021 and beyond.
I like it. Who was your favorite player to watch this year? Stories, this, you know, he or she brought out that interest.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Obviously, we were a little bit limited. We did have a you know, stoppage in play for most of the tours. But I think in that same vein where we start to talk about people that are more relatable and the game being more relatable, Harry Higgs was, you know, a breath of fresh air on the tour. I mean, you don't expect everybody to be as gregarious as he is, but, you know, he was just himself. And I think that's something that we need to see more of on professional tours, good, bad, otherwise. People shouldn't be out there just playing a part. They should be themselves. And I think even players like Phil started to do more of that this year and realize that, whatever. I don't care what people think of me. I'm just going to go do my thing. And, you know, some people at first thought, oh, this is really, you know, orchestrated. He's just trying to be a character or something like that. But I think people, when they're genuine, I think it's a lot more relatable. And I think people really appreciate that. So don't try to be out there and being, you know, the robot and being what everybody thinks you're supposed to be. Just be yourself. And whatever that amounts to, you know, for Harry Higgs, he doesn't care. I mean, he's going to go out there and, you know, he's a talented player. He's playing well. He just, you know, wears the clothing he wants, says what he wants to say, and he doesn't make apologies for it. I mean, it's not like he's offensive or anything to anyone. He's just being himself.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Harry Higgs, obviously. Everything I've seen of him, absolute beauty. All the guys that we know it on the Corn Ferry Tour who kind of came up with him only say that as well. So that's awesome. It's a weird one for me. It actually goes against what you're saying. I'm actually going to go, and I don't think they're my favorite player. I think they're my favorite story of the year is Dustin Johnson. This guy went from coming out of the pandemic. Let's go mid pandemic. Okay. Golf's not even on TV. He's on that TaylorMade Driving for Relief. And the guy's like, he's the everyday man, but he's way better at golf. He marks his first ball with a tee. I don't know if you remember that. Remember, he didn't have a ball.
Of course,
Marks.
We're having that conversation when we had, when Ryan Hart was on, we were talking about some of that.
Hits the ball everywhere. He's awful all day long. Clearly, you know, and the best part is like when you're just done with the day, you're just like, you just want to walk off. And he almost did a couple times. Like, dust in your bags back there. Okay. So, you know, that's the start of it. He comes out, you know, I think he wins early. Then he can't break 80 for a few weeks. Yeah.
It goes eight. I think it was 81 at the Memorial.
So he wins the Travelers. Can't break 80. You know, they're like, what's going on with DJ? And then what does he do? Win the last three of the last four, something like that. Like,
yeah, and was top six in all of them.
Yeah, almost wins the PGA, almost wins the US Open, right? Like, wins the Tour Championship, wins the Northern Trust by a million. Like, that one, like,
goes people, 90 under par for like six events and wins the Masters.
People are going to look at the Northern Trust at some point and be like, what happened there? Because no one was playing that golf course like that that week.
No.
And then the Masters, and I think the best part of the Masters I talked about is, like, he showed his personality. He let the guard down. Yep. For once in his career, and I just thought it was cool. I'm sure the guard will go right back up when he gets back and everything, and he's not going to show that for too long. But I thought it was just a cool year of, like, the DJ being the everyday man somehow while also not at the same
time. Yeah, I think, you know, who knows? I mean, the thing is that, you know, there's a moment where you go from being the gunslinger to being somebody who's vulnerable, and he's showing that, you know, this was something that really, really mattered to him. And you know, it's easy to put on a facade and pretend something doesn't matter, whether it doesn't go well, or, you know, you pretend like you've been there before when you do get a win. But he clearly demonstrated that, you know, the Masters meant a lot to him, and he said just as much, and obviously he was tearful. And, you know, it was a great interview by Amanda Baleonis. And, you know, that might change some things for him. I mean, he might realize that, you know, he can be vulnerable, and you know, he's not going to be overly criticized for it. And if anybody criticizes for him, it's not necessary, or it's not something that you need to listen to anyway. So it could be something for him going forward that, you know, changes how people perceive him and how spectators and fans perceive him as well.
It could be. What about your favorite tournament of the year? Looking back, you know, was there a favorite? I'll go first really quickly. Sure. I'm going to go I'll remember this for a long time. Was watching the Charles Schwab Challenge, which was the first tournament back. Daniel Berger picks up a win in that playoff. Morikawa misses that short putt. I don't know if everyone remembers that. Yep. And obviously goes on to win. And it was just like, hey, we got something on TV. Will I ever see that much a Colonial Country Club ever again? No, because I literally watched every waking moment. Think about, we didn't have golf from, just really quickly, from the last one prior to that was the Bay Hill. We had the Players for one day, right? We had the Players, and then it all got canceled. So we're talking two full months of no golf. Charles Schwab comes back, and it was just like, hey, it felt normal again. And then from there, like 3 weeks in, we're at the Travelers, and it was like, we're just taking it for granted again. Like, just like, oh, yeah, golf's on TV. Okay. Yeah. Right. So it was just cool to watch that. Obviously there's other tournaments that were great, and whether we're talking the US Open, the PGA Championship, whatever. No John Deere Classic, or else that would have been my favorite, clearly. But what about you? What was your favorite tournament?
I think it was the fact that, you know, we had a fall schedule that was different than most years. I mean, normally we get to the fall and, you know, you're done past the Tour Championship, and you're going, oh, okay, fine, or whatever. It's a wraparound season. These events don't really matter. There's just going to be some young golfers coming out here and, you know, trying to get some points in early, and you might see a couple of the stars or whatever. But all of a sudden, fall became super important to us, you know, whether it was the US Open in September. And then, you know, I joked early on with our friend Rob Miller, who's now with Golf Link, who's with the Golf WRX. But, you know, we started joking about when we heard the Masters, was all of a sudden it was going to happen. You know, it was planned for November. And, you know, I joked, hey, Rob, it's the Pumpkin Spice Masters, you know, and we were killing ourselves laughing about, you know, this possibility. And I think there was so much buildup to that. And I think, you know, it was part of the cool thing in the fall. We had really nice weather. I looked at the NGCOA Canada, the National Golf Course Owners Association, their reports today, and October was amazing. And it was up 62% in Canada for rounds of golf versus 2019. And that obviously had a lot to do with the weather. A lot of people realized the end of the season was coming. Well, let's get some rounds in and stuff like that. But I think everybody kept their interest heading into that Masters at the start of November. So, you know, that, you know, despite the fact that, you know, DJ made it look a little bit mundane, but mundane by the fact that he was so talented in how he won it, that, you know, there wasn't a lot of drama there. I think it was still exciting. I think it was really cool. We were all hyped for it. I think golf in general was excited about it. Spectators are excited about it. And I think it just put a nice little cap on the year for everybody. And the fact that we knew, you know, less than 6 months after that and less than 4 months now, we've got another Masters heading our way. So I think that was just kind of I think that was the big moment for me for tournament wise.
I agree with you 100% on that. And quick shout out to our guy, Kyle Peters. You can't see this, but Kyle sent me some gear. I got a nice Augusta National Masters mug. And then usually I'm not one to go like, here's something from an event I didn't go to, right?
It was on Instagram in a hurry.
an event I didn't go to, but no one went to the Masters 2020. True. And yeah. I got a nice Masters 2020 hat as well. So that's pretty sweet. So that's a keepsake for sure, because it's one we'll never see in November. I wish I actually said November on the site or something like that.
Should have got it in camo or something.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. We'll quickly go through a couple more here, and then we got our mailbag to get to, the last one for the year. Play a little bit of a holiday game. You know, what would you get this person for Christmas or for the holidays? Depending,
I just looked at
your
notes.
What your you got? We'll get to that, Scott. Clearly no one could see our notes, nor could they see the hat or mug I showed. So this is great radio. Clearly we are professionals on this podcast. All right. So just quickly, we'll go fire through these. Who was the surprise player of the year for you?
Surprise player of the year. I would probably say Scottie Scheffler. You know, obviously played very, very well. Wasn't a guy I expected to do as much as he did on the stage that he was going to do it on. Could have won that PGA championship. That said, obviously Colin Morikawa got it done. We weren't surprised by Colin Morikawa. It would be the same as saying we were surprised by Taylor Pendrith. We knew he was going to have an amazing year, but I think Scheffler on the PGA tour did some things that were exceptional. And I think it sets him up long term to be, you know, somebody who's going to be there for a long time on the tour. So I don't think he was really a flash in the pan, you know, count me wrong. But I think he's somebody who didn't get enough attention, didn't get as much attention as he deserved. And obviously in the end, you know, he was a fantastic player, and I expect he will be for many more years to come.
Yeah, he'll get a win for sure next year.
Yeah.
It's got to happen. For me, and I'm not a fan of this person, I've been open about it on this podcast that, you know, it's not hard to be a nice person and actually care about the people you're spending 6 hours a day with out on the golf course. But for me, it's Brian Gay. Surprised me. No, I would not have saw him winning. This is a guy that I don't know why it's surprising. This guy is an ATM. If you just look, this guy makes $2 million every single year. Him and Charles Howell.
Learn to putt, kids. Learn to putt.
He's the poor man's Charles Howell. And the fact like he made a third of what Charles Howell's made. But if you look at how much Charles Howell has made over the years, you're like, is this Tiger's page or is this Chucky Three Sticks page?
Yeah. So Chucky Three Sticks is one of only two guys that has won $1 million a year for 20 years in a row.
Yeah. It's insane. And Brian Gay's not far off. Like it's crazy. If you actually look through, it's not far off. So Brian Gay was, my shock, for the year. And then, quickly, what was your favorite course or the most notable course that you're like, I gotta go back next year for sure.
Yeah. You know what? We didn't get to a lot, which, was unfortunate.
Oh,
but,
we had so many on our radar too.
I know.
And now, shout out to a couple of our buddies that have been on this podcast before, getting new gigs. Brad Lawrence is my new best friend. Anytime I'm visiting the in-laws, I will be sliding into his DMs, see if there's any open slots out in Hamilton. So that might be one for the bucket list next year.
Yeah.
Walked it carrying a bag before a couple of times. Let's walk it together, Brad. Hope you're listening. for you, what courses have you you watched this that you played this year, and what's one that next year? Let's say you got to get to next year for sure.
Yeah, Cherry Hill. We had for the Golf Journalists Association of Canada our golf day. You know, Walker Arnett, the pro there, has been very gracious. Does a great job. The club is amazing. The golf course is amazing. Down in the Fort Erie area. It's a long way away for us where we live, probably about a 5-hour drive when you're dealing with traffic, 4 hours if it's not, but so worth it. You know, old Walter Travis design, great club, really gets it, easy to walk. Lauren Rubenstein, esteemed Canadian writers, talked about what a great place it is. And if he lived closer, he would play it. Set of rugs are amazing. Greens were running like 12-7 when I was there. Not that, they have to be fast to be great. But they're super interesting and just a fun place to play. And certainly if it was closer, I would be there on their doorstep all the time. So that would be the one for me. How about you?
TPC Toronto. I've talked about this. This is like no detail goes on underlooked. They look at all the details.
Overlooked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there we go. They're detail oriented, and I'm word oriented. I forget the name of the one we played that day.
North. We played.
Yeah, we played the North. Got to get back for all three. Shout out to Lawrence Applebaum, CEO of Golf Canada, for bringing us out there with Chris, the owner. I have a feeling we'll be back next year and maybe stay for a couple days and play all three. It's a golf haven up here. This is like you see these type of places all the time when you go down to the Arizonas and the Floridas, where it's just like, I don't need to go anywhere. I'm here. No. Everything I got. We got good food. We got a great place to stay nearby. And we got three amazing golf courses and only more to come. The range is good. Like, it's awesome. I got to get back. And we're talking about like places I got to play next year. I talked about Hamilton. I got to go to Hamilton. But if we're talking like dreams, if we got this vaccine, I don't know how I don't go to an Ireland or Scotland next year with you. I think we pull something off, and nothing would make me happier to stand on the first tee of the old course with the old man, you, and talk about what it was like from your days playing there with both
old Tom Morris,
both Tom Morrises. and go visit your buddy's grave up the street and have a few pops. I think that would be a dream trip. And that's I think, hey, if we start talking about it now, we'll will it into existence. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm game for that. You know, I had the pleasure of actually doing a radio interview from there in like 2010 and sitting in the Old Course Hotel up on the, I think we're on the third floor, looking out on the 17th, the road hole, while we were doing the broadcast. And, it gives me chills to even think about it. And, it's a cool spot, knowing how much you love the game, I think it would be important for you to finally, swing the clubs there and not just visit the place. Same for Ireland and stuff as well. I mean, those places are so special in the game. And again, I appreciated every trip that I've ever taken from a media standpoint. I got to reflect on that a lot during this pandemic. And, I'm very thankful that sometimes when, I was presented with some opportunities to travel that I thought there's no way I can get my work done and make that flight and go make that trip happen. And it'll be crushing. But you know what? I took those opportunities. And I think now it just makes it, me more eager to get back and do some of those trips again. So I look forward to doing that with you.
I love it. It'll be tough. I think I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that first trip, whether it's to a beach down in Mexico or, you go and visit your parents. I think a lot of people are going to have that moment of like, wow, this is not my house.
Yeah.
This is not the TV. Right, like this is.
I saw a funny post. Someone said, "Now I know what the cat feels like when you open the door and they try to run out of the house." Yeah. That's pretty much it. Now we're so used to seeing the inside of our houses that I love my house. I love being home, and but getting out there in the world, you begin to realize, I mean, how fortunate you are. And I mean, looking at my passport that I haven't touched since January, it seems bizarre to me for somebody who's traveled a lot, for work over the years. And I certainly, I look forward to some of those trips in the future.
I love it. Why don't we grab another break here and we'll hit the game we've been talking about. We'll hit the mailbag. One last tip of the year. It'll be the tip of the year. And then I'll wrap up this season of Tea Talk before we start back up in the new year. All right, Scott, you got a game for us. I'm going to call it, Scotty Santa.
Scotty Santa, I like it. Yeah, you know what? I thought about it. You know, our last thing of the year, we look at games and doing some stuff all the time. But, I started thinking, holiday gifts. I mean, if you had, some of these pro golfers on your holiday gift list and you had to give them something, I mean, these are people that have everything. But what would you get them? So I picked a few names of some of the more popular players. And I thought, all right, let's figure out what gift we would give to certain pro golfers.
Yeah, so you, just quickly, you talked about these, these gifts, right? So it just got me thinking, right? People are celebrating all sorts of things right now.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Hanukkah just started. You celebrate Christmas, you celebrate Hanukkah, whatever.
Kwanzaa's coming up.
Did you see the video of Smokey Robinson? Somebody got him on Cameo, and his mom used to live across the street from Smokey Robinson, so he wanted to get this shout out from Smokey Robinson to her.
Makes sense.
And wish her a happy Hanukkah, right?
Sure.
I just want you to hear this video from Smokey Robinson. I don't know how much this guy you have to pay for Cameo, but I think you need a refund.
Hey, and it's golf relevant because Smokey Robinson used to do commercials for Callaway Golf.
There you go. So they went from this guy to John Rahm. I just need you to hear this real quick.
How you doing? Surprise, surprise. This is Smokey Robinson. I know you didn't expect to hear from me. But I was contacted by your sons, Jeff and Jared. And they wanted me, they told me that you used to live in Detroit across the street from me. And gosh, that's beautiful. How you doing again? Nice talking to you again, I guess. But anyway, you're living in Vancouver now. And they wanted me to wish you happy Chinookah. I have no idea what Chinookah is, but happy Chinookah.
Happy Chinookah.
Oh my God. Well, I'm glad they paid for that. I hope they get a refund.
That's what I, happy Chinookah. I was dying watching that.
How much do you have to pay Smokey Robinson on Cameo? On Cameo.
Cameo. But yeah, so why don't we, Smokey, you want to get Cole? Who do we got on the list this year, Scotty, for Christmas, holiday, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate this time of year or any time of year?
Yeah, you know what? Let's kick it off with the guy we were already talking about, the 2020 Masters winner, Dustin Johnson. What would you get Dustin Johnson?
Okay, do you remember those old commercials? So they would come on pretty late at night. And it would involve like a lady. She'd be laying at the bottom of the stairs. I forget what the actual thing, it was the Stair Climber 3000 or something like that. It's one of those things that you put on the side of your stairs and it's like an escalator up. You just sit in it. You don't have to go up the stairs. You got to be careful of those slopes, Dustin. I mean, stairs, yeah. Dustin. So you want to make sure, I give him one of those. I think he would appreciate it. I don't think a guy like, he's got a lot of pride, so he wouldn't want to buy one himself, right? So get him one of those. We'll put it in. It will just be installed in the house he likes to stay at in Augusta, Georgia, for the rest of the time. So that's my gift to Dustin. What about you?
Yeah, you know what? Sort of on that same vein, I'd get him one of those little safety buttons he could put around his neck.
Life alert.
For him. Yeah, life alert, little emergency thing. So if he knew things were starting to go bad. Okay. And I mean, the funny part is for him, he might do it like 12 holes into a golf tournament. God, this is no good.
Yeah.
Memorial in 2021. I'm going to miss the cut. This is no good. I'm going to hit my life alert and see if I can get the hell out of it.
That's good.
You know, maybe in the middle of a press conference. And he just starts hitting his life alert. Get me out of here. Yeah, so it might have to be attached to his agent or something. He'll drag him out. So he might have one already. Who knows? All right. Next one. What would you get Tiger Woods?
Oh, man. I'm surprised he doesn't have one of these already. But Tiger hasn't been known for his driving over the years. Off the golf course.
Yes.
So I'm getting Tiger Rhodes.
Who's that?
So not his nickname, because he has a struggle keeping it on the road at times.
Sure.
I'm giving Tiger a chaperone for Christmas this year. Tiger,
that's a good one, actually.
Yeah, Tiger Rhodes there just has somebody that will drive him around. His kids are getting there. They probably need drives places. So Tiger just all he's got to worry about is the golf cart. He can drive that. But, you know, he doesn't need to drive himself. Like, Tiger, you got a driver now. That's my gift to you.
You know what? Not quite playing off that, but it could be sort of. I'm just getting him a push cart, really. You know, he's being dad caddy now for Charlie. Yeah. You know, get him his own push cart that he can use. It'll keep him safer. He's going to stay out of the golf carts, right?
From driving standpoint,
you know, preserve his back, and maybe because he's such an icon in the game, the PGA Tour will give him an exemption that he can use the push cart. And then, you know, his caddy can just walk along on the side and he can have the push cart and work his way along. And I think Tiger needs a good click gear push cart. I think that's my gift for Tiger Woods.
Oh, I like it. Go Canadian.
All right. Brooks Koepka. Obviously, you know, we saw lots of Brooks, but not necessarily on the golf course this year. Lots in social and different things. What do you get Brooks?
I'm going to get Brooks a private island. And ooh, 50, nice. 50 mil.
Does he have one already?
He should. So I'm going to give him a private island, 50 mil. Yeah. And that, I feel like that's enough for Brooks to just to be like, I'm done. I don't need this. I'm just going to go and hang out here. It's not about the money anymore.
Yeah.
Just, this is where I'm going. This is my time. I'm going to go down there. Me and Jenna, we're going to make TikToks or whatever they do nowadays. And we don't have to worry about golf anymore. It's clearly an inconvenience for Brooks. I get it. You know, golf's it's long, you know, you got to practice and all that type of stuff. And your knee, right? Your knee's a little wonky with your old age there. So Brooks, you can enjoy your new private island, your 50 mil, your model wife, and just go away.
Well, you know, I think for me, you know, he's diving a little bit into, you know, social and trying to be the guy who's, you know, in on the joke and stuff like that. I think we need a full out Brooks Koepka YouTube channel, and we get him a drone and, you know, Brooks Koepka out operating this drone, doing videos with whatever is going through his mind, God knows whatever it is. And, you know, he blows up, he becomes the biggest YouTube star that's out there. Just, you know, Brooks Koepka in a drone. How's that?
So, sure. I'm all for it.
Now, funny that it is, you know, do we get him a DJI drone? is that sort of a little take on a DJI?
I don't know. I think he could probably use a new knee, so we could have just done that for him to be really nice. But
true.
You know, whatever. Drone on his island, whatever.
All right. Got a couple more here for you. Rory McIlroy. What do you get Rory McIlroy? What do you get the Irishman?
You know what? What I'm going to do for Rory, it's going to be tough. This is going to be really tough to pull off, but I'm going to head back home, and I'm going to head to Belfast, and I'm going to go there with a Men in Black, one of those things that waves people's memory.
Lose your memory kind of thing?
But it only works for 24 hours, and I'm going to give him a night out in Belfast.
Ooh.
The night out he should have had without any worries. Rory's probably going to get in a fight out there because the Northern Irish are going to have a good time. He needs to get, you know, he's got that newborn. He probably hasn't had a lot of sleep. Just a night out with his buddies, you know, a cab ride home to Hollywood, not that far, half an hour down the road from there. Just a night out in Belfast. I'm drawing a blank on some of the bars that we went to when we were there, but I have a feeling. I have a feeling Rory will know where to go. That's what I'm getting him. It's going to be difficult. I haven't found the Men in Black memory eraser, so people don't know who he is. But you know what? Maybe we'll just dress him up so he looks like
somebody
you know
else.
Yeah, like maybe he'll look, you know, remember when Ricky does those dress up things? Like we'll do something like that. Yeah.
Sure. Sounds good. You know what? Rory's looking a little scrawny these days. I'm just going to get a freezer pack of meat. Oh. He needs to put a few pounds on.
Rory. Let's go back to Fat Rory.
You know what? I wouldn't mind seeing that. Just put a few pounds on. You can still be fit or whatever, but you know, he looks like he needs a good meal some days or whatever. And I know he can afford it, but you know what? I would get a nice freezer pack of something, some, you know, some nice steaks, you know, and get that sent to his house. I think that would be my gift to Rory. I think he'd appreciate that one. All right, last one. Player we've talked about way too much this year, and the media has talked way too much about as well. We were smart in the fact that we talked more about his putting than his driving, and then people are now realizing that really has the key to his success this year. Bryson DeChambeau. What do you get Bryson DeChambeau? I don't think it's going to be a pack of steaks.
No, so Bryson likes to talk, right? And I feel like a lot of guys hang out with Bryson, or they don't actually. They're just kind of around him because they have to be, right? So yeah. I'm gonna take some load off those people. I'm getting him a mail order bride, and this is somebody that has to. They're getting paid to be around him, so they have to listen to all his nonsense. They have to make all his smoothies, and they just have to be his friend. He's getting a mail order bride.
So you're buying him friends as well.
So it's actually a purely platonic relationship. Just somebody that will have a good conversation with him. So you know, we're gonna need somebody that's very bilingual coming out of Russia. I think he'll enjoy it. I think that'll be a gift. You know, he's been looking for love. I think that's what he's been missing, and maybe that platonic relationship turns into one of mutual love and respect and affection.
Oh, so nice. You know what I'm going to get him? I'm going to get him a visit to a silent meditation retreat for about a week. Ooh. Send him to Costa Rica, one of those places where you can't say a word for like 7 days.
My cousin did that. That's like a cult, I think. I think you get tricked into that. Like, think about that. Hold on. Let's just go on a sidebar here. Think about that as a business. Be like, okay.
I know.
Come to me. Come. You get this small, like 8x10 thing. We'll give you a bed and running water. Yeah. You cannot speak. And people pay you like $1,000. Like, you can do that in your apartment.
You might have to start doing that in your garage for diaper money.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you can do that other places, people. And it just, so, like, go ahead.
I think I just think he would be a little bit he'd be introspective and realize that maybe sometimes, even though he's thinking a lot of things, he doesn't necessarily have to say them. So I think he'd just have a whole new appreciation for language, what he says, and why, you know, sometimes when you say stuff, it's always going to be meaningful. So you'd be a little bit more careful about the words that you choose. And I think he would benefit from a retreat like that.
His caddy deserves the biggest holiday bonus of the year. I don't know how he does it. All signs point to this guy being an absolute beauty off the golf course too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
This caddy of his. So
caddied for Lexi Thompson actually at the U.S. Women's Open.
Failing to find my name here for his name there. I thought you would have it. Come on, you're the pro.
I saw it last week. So
well, you don't have it quick enough.
I don't, unfortunately.
This is staying in the podcast. Did you beat me to it?
Are we struggling? Are we going to have a Google fight?
It's like John, Tim Tucker. There you go.
Yeah, there it is. I knew it was TT. Yeah.
Did you see that photo of Lexi? That absolute just athletic specimen she is. That's nasty.
Yeah.
In a good way. Like, just insane. But yeah, that's the gift. That's Scotty Santa. You can find him circling around Jupiter, Florida this time of year, handing out gifts to all the professional golfers that don't need anything. All right, Scotty, why don't we hit the mailbag?
All right, let's get started here. Last mailbag of the year. Really appreciate everybody participating this year, getting their questions in. Let's get started with one that is going to be an easy answer. Will Flagstick have more than one golf tournament in 2021?
Maybe.
that's probably about as far as we go. Are we going to try? Yeah, you know what? We wanted to have a second one in 2020.
Where are we going? Hamilton? Brad?
I can't. No. yeah, you know what? Our plans are in the works. We definitely want to have a second event at least in 2021. So, you know, pay attention to this podcast, flagstick.com as well. And we'll get to work on that. We're trying to work with some partners right now, trying to find the right partner as far as the golf course. Obviously, the Flagstick Open was super successful this year, even though we moved it back from May to August. Had a massive waiting list for it. But thank you for everybody that asked this question. It was more than one person, actually. Certainly there's a demand for it. And we enjoyed putting it on, having people come from all over the place. They weren't able to come and travel from as far as they normally do. But certainly our field was full and we were able to pull off an event. Although it took a little bit more work this year, there's definitely some more challenges to it. But we're definitely looking forward to trying to add to that one event in 2021.
Flagstick Open, May long weekend next year.
Yeah.
We had a record score on the par 3 8th this year. I believe somebody put up a 12 this year. So they are looking for somebody to come in next year.
Top that.
Could be a repeat winner. Maybe they can break their own record. We will see. It's a tough, tough thing to re-show up next year after throwing up a 12 on a par 3. But you never know. You never know.
You never know. All right. Second question here. Someone asked, who will be the breakout player on the PGA Tour in 2021?
So who will be and who I hope for are,
could be
are
two different things.
Different. Yeah. Yeah, definitely different things. Victor Hovland looks like he's on a crash course to do things like that. I'm hoping, I hope Abraham Ancer gets over the, over it and finally gets that win. But then, you know, from a personal standpoint, I want to see some of these injured guys come back and have good years. You know, the James Hans of the world, the, you know, the Graham Dolletts that, you know, you really don't know what's going on. Both struggling with some back injuries. So I really don't know, but if you got to put it on, you know, I'm going to say this. Tony Finau gets a win. The Puerto Rico curse has been lifted. Hovland finally has broken it after winning, after, you know, getting that first win in Puerto Rico. That means Finau is going to get a win. And I'm going to make a bold prediction that our boy Martin Trainer is going to have a great year now. That curse, I think there was a lot of pressure on him to break that curse, you know?
Yeah.
So now we don't have to worry about that. He's going to find a way to break out and keep his card. So those are the guys I'm looking at this year. What about you?
Yeah, I'm in the same way. I mean, there's players that you look at and you know they're talented and that they're going to do some damage. As you said, Victor Hovland, not only did he, did he get a win there, he played well when he went over to Dubai as well. He was in the mix for the European Tour event over there. I'm going to look at a player that I'd like to see play well and break out with like a two-win season at least and some potential great play in majors, whether he really tries to look like he cares about it or not. But because I know, you know, his story is fantastic, his personality is amazing, spectators will love it, he'll put on a show. Joel Damon. I really want to see Joel Damon, you know, come into his own and, you know, break through, get a couple of wins. He's so talented. He really is. You know, as a cancer survivor as well, you know, he's got a great story behind him. So many guys who knew him or know him from, you know, playing on the McKenzie Tour and coming up have so many amazing
four iron at golf
exactly. So many guys have stories about them, some that we can't talk about on this podcast, but he's just such a great guy that I think, you know, if he wins, there'll be a lot of people on the green that want to be there, you know, cheering him on and being excited for him. For sure.
Who of these names I'm going to give you here, who has the worst year in 2021?
It's gonna be a tough
one. So I'm going to go Justin Thomas,
okay.
Dustin Johnson,
yeah.
Webb Simpson,
yep.
And Bryson DeChambeau. And I'll throw Xander Schauffele in there. Those are kind of the top names right now in the FedEx Cup. It's early, obviously, but who do you got?
You know what? I'm going to, although his record totally disagrees with it, and the fact that, you know, he is a giant killer and he always seems to be cashing checks all over the place, I think Webb Simpson is a guy who, you know, he loves being part of the game, but I think he's so embedded with his family life and, you know, his growing family.
Got a copier though, Scotty.
I know. You know,
he's
the most vanilla
Ryder Cup player of all time.
I know. But
what was the ice cream that's like the vanilla, strawberry, and chocolate all mixed together?
Neapolitan.
Yeah, he's not even Neapolitan. He's actually Neapolitan, but they just scoop out the vanilla out of it.
But, you know, because you're looking at those guys, I would say he would be my guy within those five. I mean, I wouldn't pick him normally. Again, like you said, Ryder Cup guy, giant killer, top 10 guy, always seems to get a win. But he's a guy that sometimes I worry that, you know, his putting is going to go south all of a sudden and he's not going to make it happen. So, you know, if it's out of those five guys, he's my pick of those. How about all right, you?
I got last question. How about me?
Yeah, how about you? You're going to pick some.
I want to see Justin Thomas struggle for a year and just see how he handles it. I think it'd be entertaining, so I'm going Justin Thomas.
Not going to happen.
No, it's not. He's just
not going to happen.
Of these three guys, who do you think? Oh man, I'm trying to think. Who do you think wins of these three guys next year? One's going to be an obvious pick, and two are, you know, they've been around the block. So I'm going Brendan Todd, who's been hot.
Yep.
Keegan Bradley.
Yeah,
Patton Kizzire. Patton's kind of turned things around recently and playing decent. The big boy.
Yeah.
He might be the biggest human being I've ever stood beside.
He is a big dude.
He's
really is.
6'6", 225.
Unless you've seen him in person, you don't realize how much of the sun he does block out. Keegan. I would say Keegan.
So, eh?
Yeah, I think he had a little bit of a little bit of comeback. I think he's been coming back more than people think. I do find his pre-shot routine more annoying than anything possible. But I think, you know, he is certainly a talented guy, and I think if he gets it really dialed in, he could come back and be a top player again.
Cool. That's it for me. Back to your regular mailbag segment.
All right. Third question here. Do you think we'll be able to remove the pin in 2021? If so, do you think people will?
I do. I really hope so, too. Yeah. I think there's science out there. Maybe I'm making it up. Maybe Trump retweeted it, and that's probably why I saw it. But that, like, it can't really stay on surfaces that long anyway, to the fact that you'll actually get it from it.
Yeah.
They do it on the tour, I'm sure. I think once you're allowed, people will. You know, if maybe bring sanitizer wipes. I think in Canada, we will be at the point come golf season next year where, like, I don't think all of us will have the vaccine, but like it will be the lineups and you'll have your date and things along those lines. I'm trying to think optimistic towards that type of thing. So
sure.
I think so. But I think we all learned. I don't think it changes much. I don't think it really changed much. I think at first we were like, oh, okay. But by the end, it didn't really matter. I think we all miss the sound of the ball going to the bottom of the cup. I don't think you can't. There's something about that sound on the big putt. It's amazing. But it didn't really matter. I do wonder if I think golf courses should actually create a way that there's something actually attached to the pin still, that when you take the pin out, it comes out. So the ball still can come to the bottom of the cup. But for those folks that can't get down with their back all the way to the bottom of the cup, something that's attached to the pin, whether it's like a piece of rubber or something that's attached to the pin that just stops it from falling all the way down. Let's do things like that, but allowing the option for people to take it out. What do you think? Do you think it'll happen?
You know what? There were a couple areas that I know that did allow it because they mentioned that, it, you know, as far as being a common surface or whatever, and they figured it wasn't going to be a big deal, and then they went ahead with it. I think a lot of golf courses will go back to it if you want to remove it. But that said, I think a lot of people, especially within certain groups, will have gotten used to it and maybe the pace of play that it provides for them. And then we'll just say, who cares?
But I mean, satisfying that first time.
It is.
Flag might be in the woods after I pull it.
I did play a pro event this year where they were gracious enough to have volunteers from the golf club who were caddying to tend the pins.
Oh, and man, that sounds like a gig I'm all for.
It was
weird. I would be great at that gig.
It was really, really weird because we'd get on the green and they'd be like, oh, do you want me to remove the pin? You'd be like,
Mr. McLeod, do you want the pin?
Yeah, exactly. You'd be like, what? Oh, okay. And it became visually, it was kind of odd because you look up at the hole and
yeah,
there's no flag in it. So
that's a whole year of not putting to an empty hole. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it all of a sudden it becomes what you're used to, sort of being maybe on a practice putting green where there's no flags in and you just putt to a cup. Same thing. You get on the golf course and you just get used to the flag being in. So I think there'll be some people that want to do it. I think there'll be some courses that maybe they will see the benefit of, you know, these pin caddies or other things that are there and they'll leave them in. They'll say, you know what? Our senior members really appreciate that to get the golf ball out of the hole.
A good pin caddy's good. A bad one's real bad.
Right. That is the problem.
But a good one is very helpful.
Yeah. So I think maybe they'll modify those and they'll come up with something better. Obviously, a lot of the designs were done sort of haphazardly really quickly to get something out on the market. We saw some modified versions as the year went through. But ones that are not going to damage the flags or do damage to putters or stuff like that. So I don't think we're going to 100% see people go back to it, but I certainly think we're going to see it, you know, it might get to 50-50, let's say, by the time the year plays out. All right. This one here is going to be interesting. Obviously, we missed out on this tournament this year. It was kind of in that mix of events that weren't being played. And obviously, this one has issues because of the international border. So do you think the RBC Canadian Open will be played in 2021?
Man, I flip-flopped all over when I saw this one.
It's a tough one.
It was like, I originally went no, and I said, you know, I just don't see it happening, right? Like I try to be the optimistic on this podcast. I only ever say positive things about people like Brian Gay, Brooks Koepka, Gary Player. Like I think everybody knows I'm clearly the voice of positivity. So I was saying no, but I thought about it, and being that PGA Tour is an American run company. Mm-hmm. Being that America, this doesn't sound good. It's the truth in my eyes. It only cares about the rich and the sports. I believe not only will the PGA Tour, but the NHL, the NBA, the NFL, all those people are going to have the vaccine before anybody outside of the, you know, health people and people working in hospitals. So I actually do think it will, and that I believe when the first rollout of this happens that you will actually have something that might even go on your passport that says you have the vaccine, you are able to travel and allow, by having that, you'll be allowed in the country without that 2-week quarantine, and that will allow the RBC Canadian Open to play. Right. I don't know what it's at on the schedule right now.
It'll be right before the US Open again. So
yeah, I mean, date wise, right now, let me just get that really quickly for you.
Early June.
That's how good we are. June 10th and to 13th at St. George's, which will be sweet. Maybe that's my back to the PGA Tour carrying a golf bag. Maybe. Could be.
Well, I hope
plan
it
happens.
To be there, caddying.
Yeah, you will. I might Tanya Harding your knees in the parking lot.
Try to get my gig.
So I can get your gig. But you know what? I thought about it. I think that's where we'll be. I'm trying to be super optimistic about this. I think I'm trying to will normalcy a little bit back into existence. Let's go with a yes.
All right.
I'm going soft yes.
Okay, soft yes. I think RBC will want it to happen as the sponsor. And you're right. If they can make amends, that obviously they're going to get the players there, then they're off to a good start that way. I think what we might see is just what's happening already in the plans for Scottsdale, for an example. They're already talking about, you know, the Waste Management Open having restricted amounts of fans. There's a number of tournaments that I'm hearing in 2021 that are now talking about 7,000 to 8,000 fans there, more space. spacing, doing some different things, keeping the spectators will have to be masked. They'll be further away from the players, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so, people need to realize, like, next year, though the vaccine's out, like,
oh yeah, yeah, no, yeah,
we're still gonna have modifications. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think it will happen. I just think there'll be some severe modifications that are in place. And fortunately, you know, it is 6 months into the year, so hopefully we're at a point at that time that, you know, the city of Toronto and that area is in a much better spot. And I think it will be very important as a beacon in golf. You know, I have no doubt right now that the CP Women's Open will happen because it will be, you know, later in the summer. So I have a lot more positivity for that. But I think the RBC Canadian Open, I think it'll go forward. I just think, and again, I'm saying this without any, you know, inside knowledge or interpretation or word from anybody else, because I think it's too early anyways to get word on that. But I think they'll do everything possible to make that happen. And I think it will. We just might be a little bit restricted, which will be unfortunate as far as the amount of spectators that can be there. But at least if the event can happen, you know, one of the most historic events on the PGA Tour, having been played first in 1904, going to a great venue like St. George's, who had to miss out on it this year, I think it will go forward, and it would be great to have it happen.
Love it.
All right. Last one here, which I think is important. What are you excited about in golf for 2021?
At some point we're going to get to travel. That's really it. Like, yeah. At some point, here's one thing I got to say that I'm for. I'm done with handshakes though on the 18th.
Okay.
From here on out, give me the fist bump. I don't care. Yeah. Like, yeah. Can we get, like, do we actually enjoy handshakes? I don't know. They're fine.
I like a good handshake.
They're fine.
Is it necessary? No.
So I hope we continue to grow is what I mean in golf. And the golf industry continues to stop worrying about what the history without actually knowing why we actually do these type of things. I'm fine without a handshake on 18. I want to go travel again. I want to be able to, you know, just enjoy it, you know, share a golf cart with a buddy again and have those laughs without actually worrying, taking the small details. I think I'm looking forward to, you know, at the end of the day, just to have golf back, is a great thing. I'm looking forward to playing again. It's going to be for you and I, 4 months before we'll probably put a tee in the ground again. And somehow, unless this vaccine somehow comes out over the next month and we all have it and COVID's gone and the miracle happens and Scotty Santa fixes Christmas and COVID doesn't exist. But, you know, realistically, we're probably teeing it up in May again, you and I. And I'm sure at that point I won't even care if we go back and we still got upside down holes, whatever. It allows us to get away, and you know that's why we do this podcast. It allows us to just think about something else for a little bit, so I'm looking forward to it. But travel, I hope by the end of next year, you know, as I talked about many times, we're standing on a tee in another province or another country somewhere, and we're just happy to be there.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing to think about out of this. I think, you know, the issue for us this year is we had so much uncertainty. We didn't know what was going to happen, how things were going to play out, how things were going to escalate. So there was a lot of unknown. And for everybody, that's the difficult thing to always deal with, is to deal with the unknown. And, you know, it was difficult as far as procedures and everything and all the different golf courses. I think a thing that I'm excited about, and, you know, it's probably a weird thing, but, you know, I kind of look at it as an industry person. I look at it as somebody who's been involved with the golf industry since, about 14 years old. So, you know, 400 years now. But I just always think about the operations and how events work. And this plays into exactly a little bit what you're talking about. But I think 2020 gave a great reset to the golf industry. And I think it forced a lot of people to think differently about their product that they have, about their business. Will every single person change and do everything with best practices and everything going forward? No, that's an unrealistic expectation. But
why would they start?
Right. But I think it will change how they think about, you know, hiring, what they do with their golf courses, how they entertain their people, what their rates are like, what the programs they do, you know, things like the dress codes, do they matter? What's the configuration of their golf course? What's important? And all these things that, you know, they maybe were hesitant about, I think now they'll just go ahead and go, hey, you know what? It's a great idea. It may not be what everybody thinks we should do, but we think it's right for our customers and our customer base, and not think of everybody has to be the same. And I mean, you deal with that in your daily life and in, you know, the businesses that you work with or whatever. There's a lot of individual businesses and they need to treat themselves individually. So even if something is considered, oh, we should do this because that other person does that. No, you know what? Deal with who the people you deal with in your area, what they need and what their wants are, and you'll be successful as a business. And I think, you know, because there was a bloom of people coming to the golf course, there's certainly going to be, for some golf courses, they'll have a little bit more revenue that came in, and hopefully at the start of the year it's going to be the same way as well, but hopefully they're planning to use that revenue to alter the path of their business towards something that's going to give them long-term success. So long yeah. answer, but I think it's just a reset. Yeah,
you know, I agree with you 100%. So I love it. Let's keep growing, moving forward with this industry.
Yeah, for sure.
It backwards. All right, well, moving forward, we want to include our golf games. We want to be getting better. So let's go with the final. I'm going to call it the tip of the year. Scotty, take it away.
Yeah, you know what? I'm hearing a lot of people right now talking about new equipment. There's a lot of stuff that's coming out right now. And, you know, they're thinking about, oh, should I buy this or should I buy that? It's important to know that whatever equipment that you buy, it's not about the brand. And just because something is new doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be better. So what happens for a lot of us is that we're not satisfied with the equipment we currently play. And we're not satisfied mostly because it's, you know, to do with our games and we don't play the game that we want. So equipment is a big part of it. And it's an easy way that we can go out and buy something and hope for a quick fix. So the thing is that I don't want people to go out and just buy hope. You know, equipment is an investment. It's, you know, how you use it is very unique to you. So sometimes, you know, what a club is supposed to do for you, it's not necessarily the case of what it'll actually do when you go and try it and you try it outside and the reality of it. And every great fitter knows that. I mean, Ian Fraser, who was on the show back in episode 81, if you go and listen to that, it's a great guide. He had some great insight there. Sometimes the things that are supposed to happen don't happen when a player hits the golf ball with a certain club, a certain shaft, a certain grip. So, you know, we can be hopeful about purchasing new equipment, but, you know, the results really come down to how it works for you. So if you're going to spend some money on golf equipment over this winter and into the springtime, you know, if you're going to avoid disappointment, don't just buy hope. Don't just put yourself out there in blind faith in purchasing equipment. Go through the process. The golf swing super dynamic has a lot of different variations to it for every single player. And whether you're a player that swings at 105 miles an hour or another player swings 105 miles an hour, you might do it in a whole different way. So make sure you go through that process. You know, if you're going to invest the time and the money to buy one of these, maybe an expensive driver, and when they are expensive these days to buy a good quality driver, look at it as something that you could have long-term. So put the time into it, get the fitting properly done, go through and be guaranteed that you're going to have success with it. And then you're not going to be buying hope. You're going to be happy. You're going to have the right tool for the job and you'll be a much better golfer for it.
I love it. Obviously, you know, we talk about it all year. So, you know, get fit, you'll be better, you know, and then obviously work on your golf swing. Reach out to a PGA professional throughout the winter. Make sure you're doing something so when you get out next winter, you're in a better space. That's it for the year. We're going to take a few weeks off here. If you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. Celebrate Hanukkah, Happy Hanukkah. If you celebrate everything and anything in between, we hope you and your families have a great time throughout the break. We're going to take a break until the new year. We will be back, you know, first week of January. I assume we'll have some golf back by then. We'll have some news, you know, who's playing what, all that type of stuff comes out in January. And I can't wait. As we touched on in the middle of the show, if you are looking, if you are looking to sponsor a podcast, we're looking for a sponsor. So feel free to reach out to Scott on Instagram or on Twitter. Let's start some chats. Let's see if we can make a deal here, like deal or no deal, Dragon's Den, but podcast edition. Outside of that, Scott, any final thoughts before we wrap up the year?
No, just, you know what, thankful for every listener that was out there. Thankful for, you know, TaylorMade and Adidas, who did support us early on in the year. And we have a relationship with them for our Flagstick Open tournament. You know what, it was a fantastic year. I thank you as well for putting in the work and the effort. You've got a big year ahead of you, you and Olivia becoming parents next year, which is a huge deal. You know what, I've been privileged to work with you on this podcast, and we've got to do some fun things so far. Have a lot more things that, you know, we hope to do in the future. And just want to thank every single guest, every single listener, anybody who put up with us in any possible way. And thanks as well to Jeff Botter for supporting us, for the publisher of Flagstick Golf Magazine, and looking forward to 2021.
It's going to be a good year. I think we're all looking forward to just saying sayonara to whatever
to 2020
this nonsense was. Hey, we all, I think we all learned something this year, and I think it's cool. And I said, I can't wait till next year. And hopefully at some point we're standing on the tee somewhere and we're able to just stop for a second and not worry about what happens with this stupid white ball that we're hitting with a stupid black club or whatever color it is that point. And yeah, just like, hey, we're here. This is cool. And I hope we were able to tell those stories, and hopefully some of you are able to come with us on those journeys next year. So thank you, Scotty, for doing this. You were a great guest all year. We'll see if you're able to make it next year. Thank you everyone for listening, for subscribing, everything Scott said. Until then, we'll see you next year, and we will chat with you then. Into slow motion, and a day like today, my boat's lost in the ocean.